Case number 4, United States versus German Alvarenga Silva. Ms. Judge.
Good morning, Your Honors. Mary Judge with the Federal Defender on behalf of Mr. Alvarenga. Because the old illegal reentry guideline, Section 2L1.2, imposed unduly harsh results, the guideline was recently amended. The new guideline provides an 8-level enhancement for aggravated felonies generally, but carved out a limited group of offenses that, in its view, warranted harsher treatment. The new guideline, as well as the old guideline, authorized a 16-level enhancement for crimes of violence. However, the new guideline significantly narrowed the definition of a crime of violence. The new definition requires that both subparts 1 and 2 apply before determining that the 16-level enhancement is appropriate. That is, that the offense has an element of force and that the offense falls within the categories of offenses enumerated or described generically in the guideline itself. The government's reliance on the unpublished opinion Vasquez Abarca is misplaced, as that case involves aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a minor. The 16-level enhancement is appropriate in that case, as both provisions in the guidelines are applicable to that offense. Because of a legal construct, a minor...
Is your position that second tier where it says it includes murder, bobbity-bop, all those specifically named offenses, that unless you fall into one of those, you don't qualify for the 16?
It's my position that the and includes and then the list of offenses includes categories of offenses.
So if you're not, are you excluded if you're not in that category?
Yes, that is my position.
And so it's not just illustrative. It's not. So if there is a crime that is reasonably similar to one of those named offenses, as long as it's not named, it can't be used.
That is not my position, Judge. The position is this, that the list of offenses are categories or umbrellas, and that if the offense has an element of force, and if it fits within one of the categories of the offenses, then it applies. I'm not saying that it's a finite list of offenses and it must be incorporated in that guideline. I'm saying it must be incorporated in one of the categories and it must fit within a category. The criminal sexual abuse is included in the guideline and does warrant a 16-level enhancement because it's itemized in the guideline itself and because a minor can never consent to sexual conduct, to sexual contact with an adult. By definition, sexual abuse of a minor has an element of force. In this case, the lower court erred because it enhanced Mr. Alvarenga's sentence by 16 levels when it should have been 8 levels. Consider Mr. Alvarenga's prior conviction. He was charged in the state in a 2-count indictment with aggravated domestic battery and domestic battery. Clearly, if he had been convicted of aggravated domestic battery, the 16-level enhancement would apply and would have been appropriate as it has an element of force and because aggravated domestic battery fits underneath the umbrella or within the category of aggravated assault, which is itemized in the guideline itself, as both involve serious bodily injury. However, Mr. Alvarenga was convicted only of count 2, domestic battery. The aggravated battery count was dismissed. Domestic battery fits more closely under the umbrella of simple assault, and as indicated in the reasons for the amendment section, simple assault should not be given the 16-level enhancement, the same enhancement appropriate for murder. Instead of finding that the dismissal of the aggravated battery count saved Mr. Alvarenga from the 16-level enhancement, the sentencing court disregarded the new amendment and essentially sentenced Mr. Alvarenga under the reasoning of the old guideline. The old guideline allowed a prior conviction to become a crime of violence in part if the prior either has an element of force or if it involved conduct that presents a serious risk of physical injury. The lower court considered not the elements in the count of conviction, but whether the conduct presented a serious potential risk of injury, the exact section of the old guideline that had been deleted in the amendment. Just as the underlying facts of the prior conviction are not to be relitigated at this stage, the severity or brevity of those facts are not at issue. Further, the court, although acknowledging the existence of the amendment, misinterpreted its purpose. The court concluded that the change in the guideline was not intended to exclude offenses that had previously been included. In fact, the exact opposite is true. As the commission indicated in the amendment, the purpose was to eliminate certain aggravated felonies from consideration as crimes of violence, despite the fact that they had been considered crimes of violence in the past. The sentencing order should be vacated because the court did not consider only the elements of the count of conviction in order to determine if it was a crime of violence, and because the court misinterpreted and disregarded the new amendment to the guideline. Your Honor, I have no other questions.
Thank you, Ms. Judge. Mr. Porter.
Your Honor, thank you. Good morning. Andrew Porter on behalf of the United States. The issue in this case is whether battery is a crime of violence within the meaning of Guideline 2L1.2. And the United States submits that this is a fairly straightforward application of the guidelines. Battery, the defendant was convicted of battery. It meets the first level or first definition of the two-part definition of what constitutes a crime of violence because I believe we all agree, I think that even the defendant agrees, that battery has an element of force, use of force, so it meets element one. What the defendant would like us to do is to say that you have to meet both of the elements. And in responding to your question, Judge Evans, I think has propounded a test that is even far more complex than a simple, straightforward, hey, does it meet element number one or does it meet element number two? We're into an analysis of umbrellas and characteristics of different categories of offenses, which is unnecessary when a district court can simply ask, is battery, does it meet the enumerated crimes in
list
number
two? With the modest exceptions, when I was a boy prosecutor, the aggravated battery was battery that produced a particularly heinous result. Somebody had an arm broken or something like that. But is that still the only distinction between leaving out the assault on a teacher and assault on a crossing guard and other things that create, or pulling a gun on a police officer, which automatically becomes aggravated battery?
Well, without knowing fully the state criminal code, that's my sense. And in this case, although...
Wouldn't it be necessary that you be familiar with the state criminal code if you're going to use it for enhancement purposes?
Well, I think not, Your Honor. I think I needn't be familiar with what a crime that he's been charged with and not convicted of. Here he was convicted of, he pled guilty to just plain battery. We know when you take a look at battery that has the use of force, an element, the use of force.
Battery is simply assault at work. You assault somebody and you hit them, and the result is the battery. Otherwise, if you don't hit them, it's just the assault that stops short of the battery. So
right.
The battery involves some degree of force, as you pointed out when you opened it up.
Correct.
My question was, the distinction used to be... battery, simple battery, and aggravated battery was the amount of damage that was done by the battery.
And leaving
out the other ones, I say, which have to do with who you're pushing around. You can beat your wife up, apparently, without being guilty of aggravated battery if you don't hurt her too badly, if I understand it correctly.
That's my understanding as well, Your Honor.
Tragic. Go ahead.
Like Because, Your Honor, because it isn't. I guess I have two responses, Your Honor. Number one, this isn't an assault case; it is a battery case, and I think assault. This isn't that case, but assault provides. There are, I think, distinctions in the state criminal code between the elements of the offense, which get to be difficult. But I don't think we need to reach the question of whether a simple assault would be an 8-level enhancement or 16-level enhancement, because here it is undisputed that battery constitutes use of force, meets element number one, so that we don't need to. Well, I understand that point, Your Honor, but it's asking to do interpreting where there needs to be no interpreting, because the guidelines are clear in terms of, there needs to be no interpretation of the language. The guidelines are plain, and if we go into this analysis of characteristics and things like this, we're not looking at the first definition of a crime of violence as set out in 2L1.2, which is an offense that has an element, the use, attempted use, or threatened use of physical force. That is battery. It meets that definition. So whether or not it meets the enumerated list in subparagraph 2 matters not. It's our view that the listing of offenses is illustrative. It's not exhaustive. And if we were going to take the view of aggravated versus simple assault and try to compare that to battery, we'd be forgetting about the plain definition in subparagraph 1, which defines what constitutes a crime of violence. I think counsel probably overstates to a certain extent the change in the guidelines as well. There are two separate circuits, U.S. v. Gomez-Hernandez in the Eighth Circuit and U.S. v. Rayo-Valdez in the Fifth Circuit, both of which have decided this question and have decided that you need not, as counsel for the defendant suggests, you need not establish that the crime met both element number one and element number two. And in Rayo-Valdez, the court in footnote 2 talked about the sentencing change and cited the Sentencing Commission as talking about this being a minor change to provide definitions. The big change in the guidelines, it seems, was to remove what previously occurred with the guidelines, was that all aggravated felonies merited this 16-level enhancement, which caused fraud cases, minor assaults, all sorts of things to be 16-level enhancements. The change allowed many kinds of crimes, many kinds of felonies, to be 8-level enhancements, and the truly serious crimes to be crimes of violence to constitute 16-level enhancements. So that's where the change occurred, and I think what's happening here is an attempt to make the change even grander than it really was. Your Honors, the United States would ask that this court follow the leads of the Eighth Circuit and the Fifth Circuit, determined that a district court need not find that a crime met both of the elements of crime as defined in a crime of violence, and affirm Judge Kokoris's ruling that battery does constitute a crime of violence because it has an element, the use of force. Thank you.
Thank you.
The judge, anything further?
A guideline provision should be read to give meaning to each portion of the provision. A reading which renders a portion irrelevant or superfluous is an incorrect reading. The government's reading would render subpart 2 irrelevant. Additionally, the government's interpretation of the amendment requires a belief that the commission erred when it purposefully replaced or with and. The government's argument that and really means or is not persuasive. A much more likely explanation for and is the plain meaning. That is that... Did you have a question?
Well, as long as you ask, I will ask. Would we create a circuit split here?
I don't believe we would, because the other circuits, as well as the Seventh Circuit in its recent unpublished opinion, have
We don't worry about it. We can't be concerned today with an unpublished opinion. We've published opinions from two other circuits that, at least it looks like, read the guideline the way the government urges us to read it today.
Well, in those cases, it involves sexual abuse of a minor, and I would argue that there is a per se element of force in those cases because a minor cannot consent. There is an element of force, so those particular cases meet both prongs. There is an element of force, and they're itemized in the list. So they do qualify, and is not contrary to what I'm arguing today.
Okay.
The government's argument requires that we disregard in the guideline the fact that simple assault should not count. I mean, the guideline itself specifically says that there should be a distinction. Simple assault shouldn't count for the 16-level enhancement. And the government's argument is that the guideline erred when it said that it has to have an element of force. It should have just stopped. The government's argument is they should have stopped right there as after element of force, that that's all that's required. And that disregards the intent of the guidelines to not include offenses such as simple assault. And our argument is that domestic battery falls under the category of assault. As battery is not listed, as battery is not even an itemized offense, we think it falls underneath the umbrella of assault. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. It's a very fine argument by both sides, and we'll take the case under advisement.